As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, bless you guys.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday, on The Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got a full squad, but a different squad today because James Edwards III is traveling. Jay King is at a wedding, allegedly. The 13th wedding he's been to in the last month.
And is he a priest?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's marrying these people. I don't know if he's like giving them away, but he's at too many weddings. But we are going to try to check in with a hopefully drunk Jay King at some point during the either the ceremony or the reception. But we are previewing the Eastern Conference for the upcoming 21-22 season. Western Conference preview will be done on Tuesday by the Tampering edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast. So we got me, Zach Harper. We got Mo Dakhil. We got Rich Hoffman. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Dave DeFore. Jade Hoy is producing. And we're going to do this with a favorite of our friend, Seth Partnow. We're going to do tears, gentlemen. Tears of all the not crying tears, just ranking tears.
I think Seth actually loves it when you say that they're rankings.
Well, they are rankings because tears right. Do get ranked. So that's the thing that I don't understand about Seth's hesitancy to say that they are rankings. I mean, he has his player rankings that he busts into tears. And these are rankings as well, just for the teams. And so
that's right.
What I want to do, guys, is I'll throw out a team. We'll figure out where they place. We have four categories for the tiers: contenders, playoff locks, play-in teams, and cellar dwellers. Looking at you, Orlando. Okay. But I'm going to throw out the team. We'll each try to figure out if we have something we're excited about or something we're concerned about with the teams. And maybe, just maybe, each one of us will have a surprise team out there. I'm going to do this in no particular order. Just whatever I accidentally point to on the sheet of paper. My finger is dropped. Oh shit, Orlando. Okay. Does anybody think that this team, who has gutted their roster, handed the keys over to rookie Jalen Suggs and decided to maybe rebuild with a bunch of picks from the Bulls, does anybody think this team finishes outside of cellar dwellers?
Oh no,
absolutely not. We can move on.
Well, no. So what's something to be excited about with the Orlando Magic?
They do have some young, interesting guys, right? Like, they got Suggs. I love that they picked up RJ Hampton, like, just crazy athlete that maybe becomes a good basketball player. We don't know what Franz Wagner is going to be in the NBA, but I mean, I guess there's some young guys there that might be okay. Wendell Carter Jr., you know, in a new situation, he looked a little bit better. I don't know, man. It's really sad. Like, when you look, it's like Mo Bamba, who had a terrible experience last year and didn't look great in year three. Jonathan Isaac, we know how many times he's been injured. It's I don't know, man. This is kind of a sad roster.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, this is developing. This is them. Yeah. They they jumped off the treadmill of mediocrity last season and literally just said, we're going into full tank mode. We're going into rebuilding and developing and everything like that. So this is what a roster looks like when you're just saying, hey, we're going to go figure out what we got. And that's what this season's going to be for them. They're going to figure out who they like, who don't they like. Can Jalen Suggs carry a team? You know, they drafted him. He was the sixth pick overall, right? It was a sixth or fifth pick. I can't remember.
Fifth pick.
Yeah. And, you know, that's they're thinking like, hey, is this guy going to have a chance at rookie of the year? I mean, I think that's the most exciting thing to look forward to if you're the Magic is what is Jalen Suggs and hoping that he turns into being an actual, you know, like superstar or potential superstar, I should say.
Well, and it's nice for them to have a guard with that sort of, you know, ceiling potentially, because it seems like they're constantly just rotating bigs in there.
When is the last time they've had a guard like Jalen Suggs that actually has like a high end outcome? You know, I mean, it's a bad roster.
Does Jameer Nelson count? I don't think so. An all-star team, right?
Yeah, but he was never highly touted like this.
That's
you
true.
Know?
I mean, then it's Penny, I think.
Yeah, right? Like, that's the only other name that comes up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I like Cole Anthony. I think Cole Anthony's going to be a decent player, but this is a different level of prospect that we're talking about. And if Suggs can pop out, like, we already know how important it is to have that drink stir. And this is a team that has not been able to find that guy for whatever reason. Despite numerous bites at the apple, and maybe they did, and now they can, you know, they're going to suck for a couple more years, but at least if they've got one guy, when they start adding other dudes, they've already got the guy that can dribble, which is the thing that has eluded them for 25 years.
I have a concern. I don't know who's the most familiar with Franz Wagner on this podcast, but I do have a concern, and I'm not saying he's going to be this. He might end up being really good. I don't know. I have a concern he's the white Wesley Johnson in that he's a shooter who can't shoot and a defender can't defend.
That's right? Crazy. That Wes Johnson was just minding his business.
I know. Trey, I feel bad because I like Wes a lot. But, you know, he was a 3-and-D guy who couldn't hit the 3 and couldn't play D. Like, that's ended up being what he was. And I'm a little concerned that Franz Wagner is going to be that. I do like the idea of Franz Wagner, though, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Again, there's a vote of confidence right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I want to take this franchise seriously. Yeah. They're fun. They're young. They enjoy each other's company. But I don't know. Like, I mean, it's going to be a while before we actually lock in. I think that they've packed it in since, you know, sending out Vucevic and Gordon. And they're just trying to reset the culture. So it's going to take a minute. You know what I mean? I give them like another at least 2-3 years.
They lost their two most promising young guys that they had on the roster last year, like within 2 months of each other to knee injury. I mean, so it's not like they were actually trying to win. And I give them credit for
that.
But
no, that's the scary thing is they're always trying to win.
I know.
And they're not good. So like this is the real sign of like, hey, I think they get it now with choosing to blow things up. So I am excited about, like, I've been shitting on the Magic for years and people think I don't like the Magic. No, I just didn't like that core. I'm here for the Jalen Suggs show. I'm all in on Jalen Suggs. Like that's the guy. That's one of the guys I like the most in the draft. So I'm in on this.
I'm not crazy about him.
You what?
I'm not crazy about him.
Oh, but he's a clutch summer league defender, Trey. You can't pass that up.
No. He's no Davion Mitchell. I'm sorry.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. Davion Mitchell is just a monster defensively. Jalen Suggs was clutch defensively. Yes.
I'm not buying with either one, but it's cool. It's all right, man.
Time, by the way, probably the only time all year that Orlando is going to lead off a podcast. So congratulations.
Well, Orlando Magic. For them, their time is up because his finger's about to drop on this piece of paper. Should I land on Orlando again? Okay, I gotta look a little bit
maybe
more.
Maybe move the paper.
All right, Indiana. Your Indiana Pacers, who have, brought back the majority of their core. They have Rick Carlisle as the new head coach. Rich, in terms of the Indiana Pacers, where do you place them on this? Do we think they're a playoff lock with Rick Carlisle at the helm now? Do we think they're a play-in team? Like, where do you think, Rich?
I think they fit comfortably into the play-in category, and it's the same thing with this core. They have a lot of players who I like, but a lot of players like who still need, you know, a high level player. And I don't know what they do to to change this core up? Like, do they keep running this Sabonis Turner thing like through? Like, or are we going to have to keep watching that? Do they think maybe Rick Carlisle is the guy who is going to unlock them? I don't know, but I think, you know, starting with Orlando and then going to Indiana, I feel like Indiana is almost like the Orlando of the next tier. They're not that exciting, unfortunately. And yeah, I mean, they're a good team. They're a tough team to play in their own building, but I feel like they're going to be like right around like 8, 9, 10, somewhere like that.
So, Rich, does your opinion change if they trade Caris LeVert and some pieces for Ben Simmons?
So, yeah, I mean, I think Ben with Miles Turner is a really good fit for him. You know,
that'd be fun, yeah.
If there's ever going to be a team that'll fit. Now, would Sabonis have to go out too? Because you can't play the three of them together. Yeah, I mean, I think they're, I certainly think their regular season floor would probably go up a little bit. Ben, I think, is a little more durable than Caris has been. And I just think he would just inject so a different element of speed and defense to that team. So yeah, Trey, I don't think they would move up like too far just because I think the top six or so teams in the East are pretty good, but they would be a better team for sure.
Mo, what's the most exciting thing about this Pacers team this year?
That's a tough one to answer there, Zach. I think the most exciting stuff I would look at is just seeing Miles Turner. Like, he missed a lot of games last year, but defensively almost led the league in block shots at around 3 a game. Like, I think he does a great job protecting the rim, being able to spread the floor. I think that's the guy I want to watch, because I think that's the guy that ends up getting moved. I don't know if they're going to get Ben Simmons with Caris LeVert and everything that goes along with it. I think it's Miles Turner that's going to be the big piece that moves for them, but I think and that might bring in something big for them. They've been on the block forever. I think he's probably the most interesting guy, I think, on that roster.
You know, Indiana could be active, period, in the trade market. I mean, if you look, TJ Warren is an expiring contract and, you know, coming off an injury.
Isn't he still hurt?
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be coming back late. Yeah. Jeremy Lamb, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, he's only got 2 years on his deal, including this year. Miles Turner, same. Caris LeVert. So they really could shake things up if they want to get, if they really want to mix it up. And Mo, you're right. Miles Turner, the fact that this guy's been on the block when he seems like the sort of center you want right now has never made any sense to me, especially at $18 million. I mean, that's starting center money, and he clearly fits in the way the league works. It's just that he doesn't fit that team. And so I guess instead of doing the easier thing, which is trying to figure out a new home for Sabonis, because I think they have better pieces to go with Miles Turner than Sabonis. I mean, Brogdon and Miles Turner are fantastic together.
This is going to be the gut check for Pritchard, right? Because it was, oh, McMillan can't coach his team. And, oh, Bjorkgren can't coach his team. And now it's like, yo, Rick Carlisle is, what, top five coach in the league?
Oh, like, yeah.
This is going to expose whether this has been a coaching issue or a player issue.
I mean, we know it's a player issue. Like, well, the fit but I mean, weird,
but he can't hide behind it anymore, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how you spin it. Yeah, I think, oh man, Pacers fans, I'm sorry for what I'm about to ask, because it's going to be wildly disrespectful, all right? And I understand this. Can you have, is it possible Sabonis, can he be the new Vucevic when Vucevic is still very much around and in his prime? Because it's like, you know, the numbers are nice. You're getting all-star appearances. I don't know how much it's leading to. And maybe that's not his fault. Maybe that's the fault of the core around him. But that's my question into this year. I've been very pro Sabonis, but looking at some stuff this offseason, I'm just like, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the right guy.
He's a fun player to watch for sure, too.
Yeah, he's fun to watch, yes.
He's got, you know, like a lot of craft with like his left
hand. He's not sexy. That's all.
He's fun for like
he can play.
In a nerdy way, I guess. Yeah. He also, he's like super physical too. That's the other thing that I like about him. But yeah, Zach, I agree with you. I mean, if he's your best player, like that's how you're like an 8 or a 9 seed.
Right. There you go. All right. Finger's going to drop again. Boom. Fucking Indiana. All right. Toronto. They're back in the six. No more Tampa Bay. Back in Toronto. Possibly legal repercussions if you're a visiting team and you go outside and you're the quarantine when you're not vaccinated. So there's an element of danger and legalities to the Raptors this season. But I've been very on the record of like, I don't think this Raptors team is nearly as bad as they were last year.
Cellar,
I think last
year. Cellar dwellers.
Cellar dwellers?
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not buying it, dog. I'm not buying it, man.
I am concerned that Siakam is going to miss some time. It doesn't sound like he's going to be back right away because he had that shoulder surgery. I think it was shoulder surgery.
They're fun.
Cellar dwellers?
Look, they're fun, but they're young now. Like, I'm not putting my eggs in this basket for Fred VanVleet and Siakam. Like, we're still riding the high of the Kawhi, the surge, the Kyle Lowry. Those days are over. This is a new time where
OG, you got Scottie Barnes.
No, and that's the thing. I'm not taking that away from them. Gary I think Trent that Jr. they're really. I think if they played on other teams, like they're very valuable. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're still valuable players.
That's a good point, Trey.
They're
valuable
players.
They
don't have a guy over 6'9".
But when you're trying to force it, like we just talked about Sabonis, bro. Like, I don't see any of those players that could be on their own team and do something. You know what I mean? Like, they're good complementary players. But this team is young, right? They have. I hope that Scottie Barnes becomes who he's supposed to be. They paid Gary Trent Jr. to sit. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see this team really get better, and they're like really betting on Siakam to become whatever he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly think that he is a good player. He was an All Star, but the year after that, you know, it's about health and how does he handle it as a number one option? You know what I mean? And he's been inconsistent, so. I just don't like it being led into that. I don't think that they're going to be like 16 win bad.
Right.
But they're going to be like 33 win bad. You know what I mean?
Like, man, I don't like that at all. All right. I'm putting them in the play-in teams. Trey has them in cellar dwellers. Rich, where do you fall on the Raptors?
Play-in. I watched them play a couple of times. They played the Sixers in their first two games. A couple of things. Scottie Barnes is a lot of fun. He's like a glue guy. Yeah. And I don't know how much that's really changing things at this point. OG is like, you know, it's like, it's nice that he's gotten better, but if he's your first option on a lot of these units, it's a little tough. They have a bunch of athletes though, and they can like really switch and they're a lot of fun. But I just wonder like if you're running your offense through Siakam, if you're running your offense, Goran Dragic is there also after saying he didn't want to be there, but then said he was misquoted or whatever. But I don't see the top end talent on this team. But I do think like they're going to play in some absolute track meets because they have all of these like 6'8", 6'9", guys who are fast. Yeah. And can switch.
Dave, I mean, play in or cellar dweller?
I think they're kind of in that play-in range. Okay. They're small. They didn't fix their center rotation at all. I guess, is Kem Birch going to be their starting center?
Precious is starting for him the first two games.
Precious is. Yeah. So, I mean, okay. I mean, he's fine. Like but, you know, it's going to be tough if that's your starting center, right? Like, that's just not great for them, especially because they just don't have size anywhere else. So, yeah, I think it's going to be hard for them unless OG breaks out. Which maybe he could, but he'd have to really break out to make up for some of the things that they're kind of lacking. And yeah, I think they're in that play-in range.
Mo, we're putting them in the play-in because we've got at least 3-1 right now with you as really a meaningless vote. But where do you
wow?
Well, I mean, it's just numbers game. Well, I don't know what to tell you
with my meaningless vote. No, I think they're definitely a play-in game. Like I kind of have them as a lock to get into the play-in tournament. I think. The way I look at it is this is one of those teams where you guys are right. No top end talent or anything like that. But this is going to be the sum of the parts is greater than the whole or however the phrase goes. But just always kind of just solid players relatively on the court. Right. Like it's not like they're playing. You're looking at going a massive drop off. They're all interchangeable parts. They're guys that kind of rotate in and out where they don't lose much when that person goes to the bench and his replacement comes in. I think Goran Dragic is going to end up staying there all year. I think that's a guy that's going to help them kind of be the veteran voice there. We know what Fred VanVleet's going to do whenever Pascal Siakam comes back. It's going to lift. And I just think not playing in Tampa Bay adds 10 wins to them. They were miserable in Tampa Bay last year.
It was
like,
brutal.
And I don't think people fully understand. It's not like, okay, like they knew all year they were going to end up having to play games in Tampa. It was along the lines of, oh crap, the season starting December 22nd. And by the way, Toronto, you got to get down to Tampa in like a week. And everybody had to juggle and all that. And I think that really started them off on a sour note that they could never recover from. I think this team's still going to be up there and always going to be tough to play against. And then we're going to see a couple of guys not show up to games against Toronto because they got arrested for being out.
All right. That's going to actually be, well, not a fun story, just an intriguing one. Yeah, interesting. All right. The finger is dropped. Our next team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The New York Knicks. Playoff locks, play-in team, fall to the cellar, arise to the contenders. Dave, where are you on the Knicks?
So I think last year, I'm not going to call it fool's gold. I think they were pretty good, but they had some three-point luck in their favor on both ends and probably overperformed on the standings, right? Like, I think this is a play-in team, but the play-in is the playoffs. Like, they're pretty good. They're okay. Like, they're going to defend well. You know Tibbs is going to go for wins. RJ Barrett grew a lot. I don't know if that shooting is real yet. I mean, but teams are at least guarding him. You know, I was listening to Dunked On, and Nate was talking about that quite a bit. He was adamant that teams are just treating them differently from out there. Same with Julius Randle. So, you know, I think that they're going to be fine, but they're not as good as it seemed like they were last year. Like, they're not going to be a four seed. They shouldn't have been a four seed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little worried about the Fred Katz curse, you know?
Oh, no.
He's now covering the Knicks for The Athletic. I'm a little worried about that. Does anyone disagree with play-in? Does anyone have them elsewhere?
I mean, a lot of this, look, hey, if Kemba is awesome, and if the Fournier signing works out like to an incredible degree.
Yeah,
Orlando, yeah. Years ago. Right. So, I mean, like, you know, there's a chance that stuff, that this works out differently, but, you know, I just, Kemba looked awful. He looked bad. So, I just don't expect very much. I'd like to be surprised because that team was fun last year.
I mean, he just has to be better than Elfrid Payton, right?
I mean,
that's not hard.
He is better than Elfrid.
Right, exactly. Like, that alone is an upgrade right there.
That's if he's in the lineup. Like, I just think with the whole knee situation, I just don't know if he's going to be in the lineup enough to really affect them. If they get 65 healthy games from Kemba Walker, I think they're a playoff team.
I think they don't have to give that much because Quickley's growing as a player. I think Derrick Rose will still add what he can do. Mm-hmm. And Tibbs will be able to kind of, you know, play off of that. But I still have him as a playoff team. As long as they stick to what they do, I think Julius Randle went away from what they did best, and that's why they struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah. I have them as a playoff team as well.
I have them as a playoff team, though.
Rich.
I think they're going to be in the play-in. I actually like...
Oh, you broke the tie. I'm sorry, Knicks fans. Trey and I tried.
I like what they did in the offseason. I almost think like they're going to have a worse record. They're going to be a worse seed, but they could be a better team if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I mean, you just saw in that Hawks series, they had nothing offensively. Like, it wasn't creative. It was just, you know, obviously Tom Thibodeau, he's had some of those first round series where he gets bounced really quickly. And, you know, we'll see what Kemba has, but at least, you know, the idea of him and Fournier, like, they actually have more off the bounce, you know, creation and those type of things. And they can be a little more creative offensively. And I would love if Kemba was good in New York.
Because
the crowd would just go nuts. I remember his Big East days and everything. So that's good. I'm a little worried, like Julius Randle, is there going to be a little bit of shooting regression? I felt like he was making like the hardest shots I've ever seen in my life last year. I don't know.
All right, the finger is dropped. New team, Detroit Pistons. Other than Cade Cunningham, are you excited about anything here? Anybody? And I think we can all say cellar dwellers,
I'm
right?
I'm excited. Yeah. Sadiq Bey is going to be good, man. Like, Sadiq can play. They've got a couple of guys that are interesting to watch. But the Killian Hayes thing is going to be frustrating as hell all year. We're all going to be annoyed by it.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about it. I just got them cellar dwellers. But when they're on, I watch. You know, if they ever – I don't know how many TV games they'll actually get. But, you know, I think the only time I'm going to actually see them is when they're playing the Nets. But outside of that, I don't have high expectations. I know Jeremy Grant's going to come off the Olympic high and he's going to perform pretty well. But again, they're a notch above Orlando. They're trying to figure it out. They don't ideally know what they want to do yet.
You know? Like Sadiq Bey is going to be fun, as Dave mentioned. Isaiah Stewart, I like a lot. Cade's going to be the show. Like as long as Cade is entertaining and relatively consistent, you'll probably feel positive about them this season, right?
Yeah, and the one thing I'd say with them that I'm kind of interested in seeing is what's going to happen with Jeremy Grant. Like at a certain point, they're just going to go into tank, right? Like we're going to continue to suck. Is there a possibility they trade him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Troy Weaver is married to anybody on here other than like Cade and maybe Sadiq and Isaiah Stewart, but I think everyone's in flux, right? I think everyone is. I just don't think they would give him away or include him.
No, but my point is too, like he has two more years left on his deal. So after this season, he becomes a expiring contract. Mm-hmm. If you know are they going to contend like or for a playoff spot or a playing spot? Like if they know they're that far away, like I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
But I think like they'll know that closer to the trade deadline, right? Like they'll have at least an idea of where they would be. And I wouldn't be shocked if they just move him.
Yeah, here's where I would.
He turns 28 this season. And I know like that's not old, but that's kind of his prime. I think I'm kind of with Mo here. That could be on the table.
Here's what I think, though. I think that there is something to say about a guy who wanted to be in Detroit when it looked like they were not. And like, I think that shit does matter, right? In terms of like setting a culture, like they're still trying to build a culture there with Dwayne Casey, with the young guys, with Troy Weaver. Like, I do think there's something to be said about that, Trey, where like, hey, Jeremy Grant wanted to go there. He wanted to be a part of an organization that had Troy Weaver as the GM and Dwayne Casey as the coach. And it wasn't just about offense it wasn't just about money. Like it was like he wanted to help a culture of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's very rare, especially going to, you know, obviously he could have made the same money returning to Denver or, you know, he could have went to another franchise and he actually wanted to be there. So like, I don't think trading is in the plan. You know what I mean? Unless they're going to get somebody, you know, very, very good, you know, to return or just him and Cade just getting some type of fight and it doesn't work out. You know, that's the only way. But I think that he's going to be the leader in the locker room and showing these young guys and pretty much taking advantage of that situation. You know what I mean? Like, because winning is contagious. And once you taste it, that's why I think that, you know, Zach LaVine came back inspired by playing like that. You know what I mean? And obviously, you know, when what were you going to say?
They're not going to win in Detroit, though. Not for
No. I'm not saying that they're going to win in Detroit, but I'm just saying, like, he understands what it takes. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's playing Denver, but, like, he's going to be actually one of the guys that's, you know what I mean? Like, sadly. But I think like,
my point is at a certain point, because he's tasted that, at a certain point, he's going to be like, cool, I helped set the tone here. I helped kind of, you know, build the culture. Now I want to go win.
Typical mainstream
media, the coach. Trying to get rid of players. All about the transition.
Every chance I get, I'm going to throw out trades.
I'm with Trey on this. Oh, my goodness.
No. I get Mo's line of thinking, but I'm with you guys. I want that to matter. Like, I want it to matter to the franchise that he wanted to be there. That's important to me.
Yeah.
So, I hope they don't move him. But I'm with Mo. There is a little bit. There's something. All right. That's interesting.
That's a lot of piss in stock. The finger is dropped. The Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, hell yeah.
Playoff three lock? Seed. Our first playoff lock?
Three seed.
Woo!
Yeah, seed. That's a lock, good man. Lord.
Yeah, I got the Hawks pretty high.
Yeah.
But then also, I think Cooper's going to be very good behind Young. He's surprisingly good, bro. I mean, DeLon Wright is there, but that's going to be an interesting battle in practice for those backup minutes.
That's a great tone setter for Sharif to try to get over, right? Like, hey, you have to beat out DeLon Wright if you want minutes as a backup point guard. That, I think that sets a great culture of competition. Because
DeLon's a player's, you know, basically a pro. He's a pro's pro. He's going to come in, do his job. He's a bigger guard. You know what I mean? He's going to run the show. He's going to, you know, be the safe guard for them. Mm-hmm. But Coop, man, he has that swag like Trey. You know what I'm saying? Like, they both feel like they the guy. They've all been the guy before, and he's little bro to Trey right now. And I think that they're gonna be pushing each other to that point. That Coop gonna get a lot of minutes.
He's a perfect fit for their system. Like, you know, quick pick and roll, small undersized guard. Would you go to a better place than Atlanta? You know, he's already throwing alley-oops to John Collins where he's tearing down the rim. I'm curious what you guys think about this. Do you think their playoff success last year, I think that can carry over. Like, I think the way they won a lot of those games, like, it was like John Collins, like, out-toughing people at times. And I think that's going to matter, like, moving forward. Like, I think they now understand. Maybe they're not going to win a championship. They're not going to win a championship this year. Right. But, like, they know, like, hey, we've played in like actual tough playoff games. We know we are at a certain level and we have kind of graduated to, like they've said, you know, 3 seed, 4 seed, something like that.
Yeah. Like their success was fluky, right? In the playoffs, but that doesn't mean it can't be carried over. Like, you can absolutely learn from playing over your head like that and getting lucky that the 1 seed collapsed. Right. And they had something to do with that collapse.
There was a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Trey gets another notch though. I think,
sure.
I think Trey, he's going to go up a little bit more.
We worried about him in the shooting rules, though.
So the way he played in the playoffs, I think, right? Like, think about how much more, like, you know, Zach, it was one of the things that you pointed out about him is that he wasn't just playing one way, like where he would go back and forth as either score or pass. And he had to be more unpredictable to find that success. And I think him being a little bit more of a, even leaning harder into the facilitation role is going to be the key to their success during the regular season. They just have so many guys who can play.
For sure. So no, they're going to be able to roll all year. I was right. I agree with Dave there.
Yeah, you were. No, you saw it. Like, you were one of the first people to point it out. Like, look, his eyes are different.
I'm gonna forget Dave's surprise that I made a good point during the playoffs when I made that point. He's like, holy shit, you're right. I'm like, well, all right, let's calm down on that surprise.
It's weird when the two of you are on the same page. It's kind of scary. Like, yeah,
I don't know if that helps me in Dave's point, or I don't know if it hurts it. But it could be Voltron.
I feel like the meteor coming towards Earth is a little bit closer now.
It might be
because
that's
of
right. It might be. We're right.
I think they're a playoff lock, but I'm not sure they're that as high. I'm not putting them as a lock at three or anything like that, because with all that added success also comes more scrutiny, right? Like, more of a target with all of those guys. It also comes a situation where you have guys that aren't playing minutes, and you know, if then becomes a situation in the locker room and things like that. They got so many guys. I'm just curious how they find minutes for everybody. And when the guys who are on the outside, how they handle that. Right. And then there's always, listen, Nate McMillan was awesome as a coach when he took over for Lloyd Pierce. Also happened to coincide when the team just got completely healthy at the right time. It's a question of, let's see what Nate McMillan does the next year. Cause we have a lot of proof of him not being as great of a coach versus, you know, what he did last season. I want to see how all of that kind of continues. I think the momentum's going forward, but we've also seen it with a lot of young teams do a great job, you know, 1 year and then take a step back the next.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. And it is, like, to expect them to get back to the conference finals with Milwaukee and Brooklyn out there, it's not impossible. It's not, you know, it's just, it's just unlikely. I think doesn't mean it can't happen, but they can, I mean, kind of like what we talked about with the Knicks, right? They could even be a little worse record wise. They could even be a little less consistent this year and end up being a better team.
I don't think a home court spot in the first round is an unrealistic expectation because of the depth But I'm with you. Like a lot of this. So Miami is interesting, right? Like Miami, if they can score during the regular season and if they're actually trying to win games, I mean, that's who they're basically battling for the three seed, in my opinion. And so, but I just don't know if some of these other teams are going to have their foot on the gas. And I think Atlanta will. I think Atlanta's going to just try to win every game. And they may wind up in that three seed because of it.
The fingers dropped. The Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, yes.
Oof. Play in? Playoff? Play in? I think
playoff.
That's right.
What? Play in, but very, they're still my league pass team. Really enjoy watching those guys.
LaMelo's so fun. He's so good.
He is
so
fun. Yo, he is fun.
I want him to take a leap. If the LaMelo leap happens as a playoff team, right? Like I think they could be the sixth seed if he just goes.
If he takes a leap, yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I don't know if I'm worried about him being healthy, but you know, I think just kind of like taller, slender point guards. I do have a little bit of PTSD with that. So I think that's my only concern with him. Like, but him as a player, like that dude is amazing.
Yeah.
And this is the worst he's going to be for 15 years, right? Like
that team is really good, like around him. And you know, maybe Terry Rozier isn't as good this season. I don't know, but I think that they're sneaky. They're going to be sneaky.
They're one of those teams that's just going to be so much fun. But I'm curious how it comes down to winning games and in crunch time and clutch situations. LaMelo's freaking phenomenal. And I think even if he doesn't take a leap, I still think it's going to be a great year for him. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's just, he's just so freaking fun to watch. It's as Trey said, league pass and all that. I like the Kelly Oubre pickup. I thought that was big for them, but I just think they're a playing game. The East is so damn deep all of a sudden. You know, when you look at all those teams.
For once, I will agree. You guys have been pushing this shit on me for years. You know, the East is actually catching up. Finally, you guys are right. You guys were wrong for the last 10 years, and now finally you guys are right. The East is actually good now.
I didn't know you for 10 years.
You're still wrong about it back then.
PJ Washington, you know, the stuff that they were doing with him, experimenting at the five. I mean, PJ Washington can really play. Vernon Carey Jr. is going to be an interesting guy to watch. Is, you know, playing small ball five for them. I mean, they're going to be able to run and fly up and down the court. If Oubre is, I don't know. I have no expectations.
As a transition guy, I think he's perfect with LaMelo Ball running.
He'll
the floor.
Work great. Yeah. And then, you know, Book Knight, right? Like, so they've got some really, really interesting guys that they'll have to get some production from. But I think that we can probably just count on LaMelo being a little bit better than he was last year, at least. Same with Miles Bridges. Same with PJ Washington. And then if any of this other stuff kind of works around them, if Plumlee gives them, because that was a pretty good pickup, I think. Not as good defensively, but I think he's going to help their offense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, if Gordon Hayward can stay on the court, you know, I think that this is a team that, you know, is a LaMelo Ball leap away from being like a real playoff team, like a six seed or something.
Dave, what do you think that LaMelo Ball leap looks like, though? Like, what does he have to get better at?
I mean, it's going to be scoring, right? Like, it's definitely going to be, like, he's putting the ball in the basket more. It's going to be a higher, like, he's going to wind up just taking more shots and getting to the line even more. But who knows if he has to? Like, I don't know, man. He's just such a different player that it could be that he averages 14 assists a game.
Yeah,
which I don't think they've got the shooting for, but you know what I mean? Like he's hard to read. And last season, especially being such a fake season with how all of the games were on top of each other and, you know, guys in and out of the lineup for every team. I think that when you get some of these guys that showed us some really, really special stuff like LaMelo did, and they get into the more routine environment of an NBA season, it's going to feel easy to him. I think that this leap, like, or, you know, whatever we want to call it, his second year, like, he ought to be better. But it could be bigger just because of how weird last season was. And now maybe he can breathe a little bit during the regular season and improve like a normal player. You know, not everybody's Anthony Edwards who got better month after month last year.
And that's why his development is, like, fascinating to me, because it's normally with, like, a rookie, it's, all right, yeah, they show some tools, but maybe they have to learn to read the game better. They have to think out the game better. This guy just understood NBA basketball in a way that's so crazy for a rookie right away. So I, you know, it's like you said, like 15 assists, 16 assists, it's possible.
And he's the new Matrix. Like he uploaded the NBA to his brain. He knows where everyone is on the court at all times. It's really incredible.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
New team. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cellar dwellers.
Cellar, right?
Like cellar, the most expensive cellar dweller there is right now.
Oh, no.
That was so sad watching Lauri Markkanen. Like,
you could have just stopped the sentence there.
I mean, look, I'm still in on Colin Sexton, but that team overall, man, like, not yet.
Mm-mm. I'm Sexton going to get traded?
Huh?
Is Sexton going to get traded, you think?
Not yet. Probably in a year. Yeah. They have a overload at the front court, too. They need to figure that out. You know what I mean? They got K-Love. They got Mobley. They got Markkanen. They got Jared Allen. Like, what are we doing at this point?
Well, two of those guys, they just signed, and they drafted the other.
It's a pattern, though. If you have a bad team, you're loaded with needs for other teams, good teams. You know what I'm saying? Like, Orlando has guys that could be used on other places. You know what I mean? I feel like Toronto has guys that could be used in other places. So these teams aren't good, and they're going to struggle in the process of hoarding these guys. Like, I don't know. I mean, I would like to watch them on League Pass, but then again, I don't know. I think they're just still too young.
I'm interested in Cleveland, and just I want to watch Evan Mobley and how that works out with him and Jared Allen, because I think that changes the situation for them. If those two are not at all able to play on the court together, not able to have an ability to create some sort of offense and defend, I think then you start to look at like one of, you know, and it's not going to be Mobley. I mean, then they're going to be looking at maybe having to move Jared Allen because there's just nowhere else to go. And then they're going to be paying a crap ton of money to a roster that's going to be what, the 11th? You know, not that's probably too high, probably like 13th, you know, 13th team in the Eastern Conference. Like, I don't think they're going to be contending for a play-in spot.
They don't have any wings in their starting lineup. It's two small guards and two. I mean, Evan Mobley, I guess, is a power forward now, but he's probably going to be a center at some point.
He should be a center, right? Yeah. He's a center, yeah.
Good luck, Isaac Okoro, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of guys on that roster. I just don't know if I like them together.
It's another one of those teams, man. We Cleveland and Orlando should just meet in the middle. Can they meet in like Huntsville, Alabama?
And what guarantee they get? 11th?
I don't know.
I mean,
it would be a better team than what you'd have now.
Not that much better though.
I mean, it'd still be good. Make the play.
Yeah, it's still a lot of young dudes who don't know how to win. Like I don't know about that.
And Kevin Love, who's pissed
Colin
off.
Sexton. Colin Sexton might get moved. I mean, you just look at that situation and it feels like, Garland, everyone loves his ceiling. But you look at the way Colin Sexton scores, I don't know. I don't know how you give that guy up. And then, Rich, who were you just saying?
Kevin Love? Yeah, he's still there.
Is he going to play?
No, of course not.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What a weird team.
New team. Jay King?
Did you guys bring me in just in time for Colin Sexton?
We just finished up about 50 minutes of Cleveland Cavaliers talks because we know you like that. We are asking you, Jay King, possibly drunk at a wedding reception right now. First of all, is the ceremony still going?
Oh, yeah, it's still going.
Okay, have you objected?
They, They just had the first dances and stuff. I thought you guys might call me during the first dances. I am now outside.
Were you out there? Were you on the dance floor for the first dance? That you're not supposed to be there.
I'm not much of a dance floor type of guy.
What?
That's not at all shocking.
That is shocking. You can't see him just doing the hitch two step, you know, just the home base.
It's shocking
side to side.
That he knows it. It's shocking that he knows
that's
he's
the,
not a dance floor guy.
That's the real shocking part. Yeah.
I'm gonna stand in the corner and nod your head.
Okay, just sipping a beer bottle.
Jay, just keep your hands, exactly. Just keep your arms at a 90-degree angle. One step to your left, one step to your right.
I don't think Moe should be giving dancing advice either. Let's
accurate
be
assumption wow. there. Accurate assumption wow. there.
Both of you. Erroneous.
Jay, should we consider the Boston Celtics playoff locks or a play-in team once again?
I think they'll make the playoffs, but they're not a lock. They are definitely not a lock. I mean, they lost some talent in Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier. Obviously, they replaced that with some pretty good players. I think they're deeper this year. But who knows what Ime Udoka is going to be like as a head coach. I think that's a big variable right now. And if Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown miss extended time, then that's a team that lacks scoring punch at the top. So we'll see. I also have serious questions about their backcourt, whether they have enough shooting with Schroeder, Richardson and Smart. Like that's just a weird mix of like gritty, edgy dudes who shoot 33% from behind the arc. So I think they'll be better, but if they're not, if they're again in the mix for that 7-8 spot, then I won't be surprised either.
Did you get the fish or the chicken?
Oh, I went with the filet mignon.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were at Jeff Bezos' wedding. Good Lord.
The kid eats steak when he can. It was delicious too.
What's your bit?
Go ahead, Dave. Sorry, I thought we were going to go to basketball. How's the defense going to be, guys? Like, I actually think this defense could wind up being one of the better ones in the East. Like, they should be.
It all depends on the mix, right? Like, I think they're probably leaning towards starting Al Horford and Robert Williams. I think if you do that with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Marcus Smart, then that could be an elite defensive lineup with a lot of size and then on the perimeter, a lot of versatility. But then, like, I have questions. Are they big enough when they don't have those guys in there? Who are they playing behind Horford? Is it going to be like Juancho Hernan Gomez? Is it going to be Enes Kanter? Is it going to be Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith? Obviously, I think Schroeder and Richardson will play minutes behind those guys, but I think that when they don't have their starting lineup out there, they could be pretty small, and I think that could be pretty tough on their defense. And then the other piece of it is Brad Stevens was a great defensive coach. Whatever you wanted to say about Brad Stevens, his defenses were typically awesome. Last year they were not, but for the most part they were awesome. So I wonder how the Celtics will look without Brad Stevens as their head coach defensively. And obviously Udoka was in charge of that for Philadelphia when he was with the 76ers. But it is – there's just a lot unknown about the Celtics right
What's
now.
What's the cake situation?
Oh, the cake, I haven't had any yet, but it looks delicious. They had it was a nice looking cake. They had the figures of the two newlyweds and then the dog figure too. Like their little dog too on top of
the
it.
Dog?
Was the dog the ring bear?
No. My cousin's little kids were the ring bear.
Okay.
Cute kids.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like this cousin? Like, are you on it to be there? Is it an obligation to be there? Like, what's the most trouble we can get you in?
I am thrilled to be
That's a here. Lie. All right, Jay, thank you so much for the time. Go back to the wedding.
All right, bless you guys.
Bless us. I don't like that. That's not a good reaction. That's not a good sign.
Again, he's a priest. Service,
you know, he's a priest.
Now we know why he goes to all these weddings.
I think Dave's right. He is a priest.
So Boston is a little confusing, and you know, part of that is because we don't know, you know, what it's going to look like as far as structurally, like what Udoka, how he's going to coach them. But I do think, like, with the personnel, this defense is not going to ever be bad. Like, they should be pretty good. It's all about the offense for me, which has been the issue that I've had with the Boston Celtics for a while now.
I feel like they're short playmakers.
Exactly.
Bad passing team. Yeah.
There'll be nights where somebody will have a big assist, you know, like total, like 7 or 8 yeah. or even 9 assists on some nights. But it's not actually playmaking, right? It's like not actually setting up other guys. Yeah,
I'd like
it's
to see them play more like the Clippers did last year, right? From a sense of like setting the table with Kawhi and PG. Like I think that
versus
right.
what they do.
Yeah, versus what they do. Like I think that would be a great wrinkle, but I don't expect that to happen.
I mean, look, they've got guys that can get to the free throw line in isolation because the offense that they've run year after year just never really created the stuff that they needed. I mean, I'm a broken record about it at this point. And we don't know what the offense is going to look like. I mean, Mo, like how much with this personnel, how much of the Spurs stuff can you bring? How much of the stuff that they were running in Philly could you bring? I mean, is any of that stuff workable, you think?
Well, it's hard. Like the Philly stuff, because so much of it was surrounded around Joel Embiid. Like they don't have a post presence like that.
Yeah, they trade for Al Horford. I just want to remind you, they traded.
And they're playing him at the four as well,
and playing him out on the wing. you know, and then I just think that I'm not worried so much. Like I think they're going to end up doing the same things they did last season offensively. I don't think Udoka is going to bring in like a whole offensive change along that line with that team. I think, you know, he's going to make his impact defensively, which is just continuing along with what they did. But I think this team is going to play harder for him than they did for Brad Stevens. I think they kind of just got tired of him last year. And I think this year, a little new, fresher voice with Udoka, with his staff, you know, bringing over a whole bunch of guys like Will Hardy from San Antonio. I think it's going to be an interesting way to see how much harder they play. I felt at times last season, they just kind of threw in the towel.
All right.
Well, and the reporting is that he was kind of burnt out and, you know, that stuff, it's hard to hide it when you're around people all the time. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe they just get a vibes bump.
Finger has dropped, guys. Chicago Bulls. Trey, playoff lock, play-in team, contender.
Quit playing on my dogs. Quit playing on my dogs, man. Fifth seed.
Fifth seed, whoa,
man.
What?
Yes. Whoa. Y'all heard fifth. It first.
Give me some explosions, Jade.
Listen, y'all heard it first. Y'all see how fun they was looking. I guess it's okay now to see Caruso all over the internet.
Oh, now you like it.
It's okay, like now. It. Okay. We love the hype machine.
Now
in
we
Chicago,
like the privilege,
you know?
Trey. I get it.
Absolutely. But I think that this team, it's going to be fun. I mean, it's a lot of excitement. Everybody's excited. I know it's preseason and things of that nature. But those dudes really enjoy playing the game of basketball together. And I think that they're going to shock a lot of people. I don't see them going deep in the playoffs or anything like that, but they're going to seed pretty well and if they can stay healthy.
Anybody think they're more of a play-in than a playoff?
I think they're in the play-in. Yeah. Look, they're better. And there's a lot of stuff that they did that I really love. Like, I mean, I love getting Lonzo. I love getting Caruso.
Not a high bar to say they're better. I mean, that team was.
I know. But I got to say, man, like closing games with DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic just is not going to work once you get to the games that matter.
Oh,
right. Like the regular season, we know it doesn't matter and they'll score. I think like that's not going to be an issue, but I don't know how they're going to defend with those two guys on the court in the playoffs. Like that, they're just going to get run. But I do think that they're going to be in the play-in. I think this is a much better team than last year.
I think Lonzo and LaVine are really good fits together too.
I like that, Matt. Yeah, I like that pairing.
Fantastic.
It's the DeRozan element that's a little tough. And the other thing I would say just real quick is like, I feel like a lot of pressure is being placed on Patrick Williams, you know, for a guy who, you know, he's what, 20 years old. He had a rookie season that was, you know, kind of a, you know, lost season almost for a lot of different people. I don't know. I think he's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting defensively. And I'm not sure he's quite ready for it yet, even if I see the talent there.
A little undersized for that role too.
They shed the fat. I'll say that.
Okay.
They got better. So I mean, I'm dying on this hill right here in Chicago. You feel me? Where Ball Jesus gonna get us to where we need to be.
Ball Jesus. All right. Well, now that's the banner has dropped.
That's my right. man. That's my man Caruso.
We got a new team.
Thought he meant me.
Clear the runway for Rich Hoffman, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Jesus.
What? Do we need a new category? I don't know.
I don't think Clusterfuck is on there.
Yes, yes. That
they're going to make the playoffs, right?
Well, I mean, would you be stunned to see them not in the top six seed? So playing in the play-in,
I would. I guess if Embiid gets hurt, like whatever. But like, right. I would be
stunned.
That's
the issue. Yes.
That's the issue. And I think the East is good. Like, I think when you have, you know, like the top two and then, you know, you run through Atlanta, Boston, Miami, there's not a lot of, you know, room for error after that. I think the Sixers probably should be. The thing is, I think last year proved when they do have Ben Simmons, this team in the regular season is a lock to win a decent amount of games. Like, I'm not sure they would have been a one seed again. That's hard. That takes some luck. But the idea of just like, shooting around Simmons and Embiid, that works. But when you remove Simmons, like as much as his playoffs absolutely killed them, and I can't express that enough. He just destroyed them in the playoffs. It was brutal. When you remove him from this roster in the regular season, it's like just think about the starting lineup. I think they are going to start Tyrese Maxey in his spot. So who guards the other team's best player? Is it
God bless, is it
Dave's friend, the legend.
No, we
Danny
can't
Green.
Do that. No, I can't even pretend like year 13, Danny Green's guarding anybody's best player. That's your strategy.
Danny
that's
Green
bad.
He wasn't doing that, so
it's true. he's had the knee issue now for a few years.
He's
pretty obvious.
Two duct tape together. Yeah.
I'd rather have
this
Steph
is, like,
Curry
he's fantastic.
As the point guard.
Yeah,
you would. Well, he's Seth? Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. So Seth and Matisse. I mean,
I like that.
I think it's going to be Matisse. I think Matisse is going to – they're going to have to find a way to get him in that lineup as much as possible, man, because Danny Green is great. Like, this is the thing about Danny Green that's great. If you have Ben Simmons out there, Danny Green can do all the other stuff that people mess up all the time.
Yep.
But if you don't have Ben Simmons, well, now everybody's got to step up. And so, like, you know, I think it's got to be Matisse because Matisse is really the only guy that they have on the roster that's suited to even – get anywhere close to that level of defensive production.
Rich
Rhodes medalist Matisse Thybulle, by the way, for Team Australia.
Oh, yeah, they finally lucked into meddling. It only took 4 years.
Take it any way we can get it, Zach.
Did you get fired?
No, I resigned.
In shame or under your own
voice? But
everything I do is in shame. I'm going to leave this podcast in shame. Everything is shame, Zach.
Rich, I'm going to ask you a question that you've never been asked before. When do we get a resolution to this this situation with the trade?
I think it's going to be at least a few months.
It's going to drag out that much.
I just think, like, Daryl Morey, for the most part, he's – and you could say this is not the smartest strategy in the world. Like, he's trying to luck out into a – you know, into a Portland being really bad and being able to get Lillard or Beal or – like Levine or somebody. And I think he's pretty confident that what they have, and if Embiid is healthy, they are a lock. Like if he plays like 65 plus games, I think he is good enough to where they will be one of the top six teams, but it's dicey because they are relying on a lot of young players. Like a lot is being expected of Tyrese Maxey. So we will see. I think it's going to be a couple months though.
The finger is dropped. The Washington Wizards. I think they got better, and that's not a knock on Russ. I just think they're deeper. As long as they're healthy, I like the depth of this team.
Not making no play-in.
They're not making no play-in.
They wouldn't have done it without Russ.
They wouldn't have did it without
Russ. Awesome.
No.
Yeah,
they're gonna be very stinky. Bradley Beal's gonna score a lot of points.
Can we judge anything off a season where they weren't allowed to play 2 weeks?
Here's the thing. All I'm gonna say
is
they had to sign Jordan Bell out of a goddamn 24 hour fitness just to get to the game that night so they could play.
Look, Zach, I'm happy my guy Spencer Dinwiddie is back playing at a high level.
Yes.
Shouts to him. Kyle Kuzma looks like a hot mess right now.
Yeah, well,
he needs to figure it out. And then I'm not talking about physical looks. I'm just talking about basketball wise. Like he's just not fit. It's like the Monstar stole his powers or something. You know what I mean? Like, not that it was a lot, but like he needs to figure it out. And then like again, it's gonna be Bradley Beal scoring a bunch of points. That's it, man. Honestly, that's pretty much it. And like again, if you're from DC, just have some patience, I guess. But don't expect this team to really be doing anything major. Honestly, I want to keep my eye out on John Wall too. I think if John Wall accepts a buyout and maybe go to Brooklyn, that would be great. Mm. Just to kind of be that emergency break glass for Kyrie when he can't play in home games.
Look at the Knicks series. He's not allowed to play.
That's
kind of crazy. We'll get to Brooklyn in a second. Where do we have them? Cellar dweller or playing?
I think they're in the cellar.
Wow.
No, I think they're in the cellar.
Wow.
Listen, man, Russell Westbrook down the stretch for that team was fantastic. Like, once he got over that quad injury, like, I mean, he willed them into
the some of the best basketball he's ever played, for sure. Yep.
Absolutely. And then the wheels fell off, obviously. But I just think without him, they don't have anybody else that can do what he did. I mean, it's the Bradley Beal show, and that's it. Like, Rui's not that guy. Denny's not that guy. They just don't have that another guy on the roster that can create. And the defense is not going to be good.
I guess Spencer
Dinwiddie, who I literally forgot they signed. Spencer Dinwiddie, I guess it's fine, but it's not the same as Russell Westbrook. Doesn't affect winning that in a way that we've seen in the same way that Russell Westbrook
he was pretty
did
good for Brooklyn
down the stretch
before they got stars.
Yeah, I think
fine.
I think they're a playing game, a team. I think we're looking at it, you know, just from the one perspective of they've lost Russ and they haven't replaced him. Like, nobody's really going to replace a guy like Russ, but they've added a lot of guys.
Yeah.
KCP. Spencer Dinwiddie, I still think, has got a lot left in the tank, Russ, and can do more than Russ on the defensive end. Maybe not a lot, but more. And then you have guys defensively. I think Daniel Gafford was a huge pickup for them at the trade deadline, which they basically got for free from Chicago. They have, you know, whenever Bryant comes back from his injury, that's another big man. I think they're not going to be great or anything like that, but I think they're going to be in the play-in, probably like the 10th, 9th seed in that instance, but I don't think they're going to drop out of the race.
Rich, you're the deciding vote here. Cellar dweller or play-in?
I'm going to be charitable and say play-in for these guys.
There we go, Rich. Good job.
Well, and the one thing I liked about their offseason is I'm not sure how much better they got, because I do agree with, like, Dave, like, Russ was just a burden he had every night. That's going to be a little bit.
For 2 weeks.
That's going to be tough to replace.
They couldn't get into the practice facility for 2 weeks.
But so I saw that team in the Sixers series, and we saw what the Sixers did in the next round. They were not exactly like a juggernaut one seed. I thought the Wizards were one of the worst playoff teams I've ever seen. In my life last year.
They had to play like 40 games and 40 nights just to fit the season in.
Yeah, and so I do like that their roster makes a little bit more sense. Like, they have some wings. Like, I think KCP and hopefully Kuzma turns it around. Like, they were starting Howell Neto next to Russ and Beal, and I think they are going to make a little bit more sense. But yes, a lot on Bradley Beal's shoulders.
The
sure.
finger is dropped.
The Miami Heat. Heat culture.
I'm not about, listen, PJ I know Tucker. Everybody's in love with that team, Zach. Like, what's off that, off paper. Huh?
What's not to love?
It's scammers, man.
Scammers?
Yeah, man. Like, listen, I think they're going to win a lot of games. I think that they're going to make the playoffs. But they're not contenders. Mm-mm.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't think they're with Milwaukee and Brooklyn. But I think they're... Depending on what happens with Philly in the trade, I think they're the third best team.
Yeah, I think they're like in that middle of the pack, that three, four, five range.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have them like a four.
I have them in Atlanta in the same tier, right? Like with room for Boston to get there if things go right for them, Philly, depending on what they do for that trade.
I have them above Atlanta, but it would not shock me if Atlanta caught up to them.
Yeah. So I'll say this. My concerns with this team are about the offense. The defense is going to rule. The defense, when they get into playoffs, that defense is just full of assholes. Like, they are going to defend. It really is. Everybody loved how PJ Tucker defended Kevin Durant. He didn't defend him. He did a football blocking drill on him. And that's Miami. That's Heat culture.
Like, I mean,
yeah, I know.
This is propaganda.
They are going to, like, that defense is going to defend. It's can they score, right? And they are functionally going to have two guys you got to worry about outside of, you know, like 7 feet. And I just don't know if that's enough, man. Like, you know, Jimmy creating shots just doesn't really scare anybody all that much. You know, you got Kyle Lowry. Duncan Robinson is the one deep threat who's going to be running off screens and, you know, opposing defense is going to have an easier time because they are not going to guard PJ Tucker. They're not worried about Bam Adebayo. So I do think that the offense is going to be tricky, but I also think that Tyler Herro is not nearly as bad as he looked last season. I think that if he is better, this team has a higher ceiling than I'm thinking right now.
The good news is he can't be much worse. It kind of leans on him. Right?
Right. He was awful, right? Like, so he's got to be a little bit better than that. But, you know, he could be a guy that, I mean, they need him to be good, basically, is what I'm getting at. If he can be good,
yeah,
then this team could be slightly better than I expect. But I'm with you. I like, this is not a team that really has a realistic shot at the
final. Now, let them get on a 6-game win streak at any point in the season. I will completely go over the moon for it. All right. Shit. Who am I kidding? 3-game win streak. 3-game win streak. I'm in. I'll start saying they're as good as
one game.
One game is not a streak, but that's just math. So
that was digit. Okay. Good talk.
With Miami, I do think, like, I think there is a trade that can be made at some point during the season that puts them that much closer to Milwaukee and Brooklyn to where it's like right on the edge, but everything has to break right for that. And when we start playing the what if game, right? Like, you get through a bunch of what ifs to get to that point, and that's probably too many. So they are definitely in that second tier.
Trading for Kevin Durant or
No. They would need like a good wing, right?
Yeah.
Like an all-star necessarily. Yeah. I mean, shit, if you added Jeremy Grant to that team,
Big deal for them.
That would be good without having to give up any of the core, right? And maybe that's giving up draft picks. I don't even think they have draft picks to really give
to me. That's kind of the thing that, I mean, that's what I'm getting at. Like, the thing that makes them less scary is that they don't have that guy. They don't have another guy. I mean, you know, Jimmy Butler's not getting guarded on the perimeter, really.
Right, but that's only a problem if he takes perimeter shots.
Because he can. I mean, what if their bench is a problem too? Their bench stinks. I'm looking at this
right
now.
It's bad. Yeah. They're old and have no depth. That's why I'm low on them in the regular season.
You guys
lower
aren't familiar with Omer Yurt 7, okay? This dude lit up Sacramento Summer League, all right? That guy, for all I know, he's going to make them trade Bam Adebayo. He's so good.
I know you moved, Zach. Did you just move to Miami?
I'm a few months away from it. All right. The finger's dropped. The defending champion Milwaukee Bucks.
We did it, man. Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like this is the least, I don't want to say respected, the least considered defending champion of the last 25 years outside of the 98-99 Bulls, for obvious reasons, the 2004 Pistons, and the 2011 Mavericks. I think those are the only champions, returning champions, that have been considered less than this Bucks team, because everyone's just focused on Lakers Nets, and for some pretty good reasons. But
with a group that works like they do, the group that embraces some of our mantras, we talk about getting better every day, we talk about playing together. When you do those things, you end up on a stage like this. They compete, they're NBA champions. I couldn't be more happy for our players, for our team, for our organization, for our city of Milwaukee, NBA champions. Yeah. It's big time.
All right, the Bucks lost PJ Tucker. I feel like they should be getting talked about more as like a team that can defend their title.
I mean, they're contenders. I don't think anybody has any questions about that. Like, you know, I think it's certainly possible that they get back to the finals again. I'd be surprised if anybody's sitting there and fully counting them out along those lines. I know people are saying, like, look, KD was a smaller shoe size away from eliminating them and everything like that.
But
it took everything KD had to get there with the situation that team had. But, you know, you look at the fact that they've won the championship. I think Giannis won up another level in the finals itself. Like, I really think it kind of,
if he plays that way,
you know, his eyes opened up to the point that he's seeing it a little bit better. I think they're going to be right there in the mix, you know, chasing the Nets in the for the contender stats. I think it's I know the odds are heavily in Brooklyn's favor, but I think the Bucks are right there with them.
I agree with Mo. I mean, I think that, you know, it's 1A, 1B. Obviously, I think the Nets are edged them out because of all the on-ball creation they have. But the Bucks defense is a differentiator for them in a way that I don't think Brooklyn can even touch. So it's a little bit more even than we would give it credit for. But I do think at full strength, Brooklyn wins eventually. But yeah, Milwaukee, I think Milwaukee has a really good chance at repeating.
Well, yeah, because I mean,
because I just don't trust Brooklyn to stay healthy.
Right. Like, I guess let's say even if they just have James Harden healthy. Well, they didn't have Kyrie last year. And this year, game seven at home, they still wouldn't have Kyrie.
If it wasn't Kevin Durant, that wouldn't have been as close as it was, right? Like Kevin Durant was just – he went supernova, I mean, as he can.
I mean, he was the best player.
He basically lives at supernova. Yeah. And that's why that series was what it was. I think that if it was just Harden, it wouldn't have been the same. And maybe we don't feel the same about Brooklyn. But listen, Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant and is the best player in the league right now.
Do you think the Bucks will chase the one seed?
That's the big question here, right? Because they didn't last year. They experimented. I don't know. This could be the, hey, we figured it out. Let's try to go 74-8.
Yeah, Trey.
I think they should want it. Like, I mean,
I wish.
I don't know. Don't you think you should be playing the odds? I'm kind of half serious here when I say, like, shouldn't you be trying to get a game seven in Brooklyn? Just in case Kyrie digs his feet in?
It matters. It has to matter. Like, I don't think
this is going to be a problem later on down the line. I think they're going to bring in a very solid guard. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we're going to be worried about this at this particular moment. I think that, honestly, Kyrie is not going to get the vaccine this season. But they're going to fill that need. Whether, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you'll have the buyout market, right? Like, they're going to get somebody in the buyout market.
Yeah, they're going to get somebody that's going to really, because that's all they... They don't need too much. Like Harden came in. He also was very reliable for them while the guys fluctuated with, you know, COVID. And then also they were kind of monitoring KD. KD going to play a lot of fucking games. Like, and he's going to be playing at a very high level, probably as one of the best players in the league at that particular moment. And then, you know, they bring in one other guy just to add maybe 10, 12 points. I think that's what you need. You know what I mean? Like, I think they were at full. They only played 13 games together as a, you know, and they made it that far. So
I don't even think it was that many. I think it was fewer, actually. Like, I'm not even sure it was 13. Like, yeah.
It was nine regular season, but then, you know, postseason and stuff like that. But overall, I don't have it as a lock as the finals, but I do see them filling in that need,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. And not to take away from the Bucks, because I think the Bucks are going to be their biggest test every time they see them. Regular season, this is a rivalry now. You know what I mean? Whether it's not like a finals rivalry, but it's an Eastern Conference rival. When they play, this thing is going to go seven, regardless of who's out there, I think, because the Bucks are that good. But I will say this. Cam Thomas is very fun. Patty Mills is experienced. I have faith in Paul Millsap to do something off the bench. He doesn't have to do a lot, but he's going to do something. LaMarcus Aldridge is back out there. He doesn't have to do anything either, but he can, you know, he still gets respected a little bit for shooting that long too. But overall, they add one more player. Like, I mean, wishful thinking. I'm throwing John Wall's name out there. He has a lot to prove, and he doesn't have to do too much as a fourth option. Go get him. You know, that team's dangerous as hell.
All right.
I don't see too many teams beating them in seven.
I do think teams should drop games and make sure the Nets get the one seed just in case. I really do. Like, I'm serious. Like, I'm like
that's petty and strategic. I love it.
It is, right? Like, I mean, shit, man. You can guarantee Kyrie can't play a game seven. You guarantee he can't start off a series against you.
Pretty amazing.
That's a crazy storyline.
Hey, how about this? How about this, Zach? Let's go one further. A smart front office. They're lobbying local government right now. Hey, Milwaukee, we need to have the same rule put in place.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Drop it to the road players. Please do it. I would love to see
this. Do you understand the uproar in Wisconsin?
Let's get
look,
it.
If you, no. If you spin it to Wisconsinites as you get a, like, this is going to help you defend this title. We're just going to do it until July. don't know.
Listen, you know what?
Nobody should
flip it. This is how they'll get it in Wisconsin. This is how they get it in Wisconsin. It doesn't apply to residents. It only applies to people coming to Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah.
Not even, it doesn't apply to residents. That's how you pass it.
But also, like, do you want to win or not? I mean, this is the whole thing with the vaccine, right?
And get the shot. And then let's see Miami. Oh, wait, Florida. Never mind. All right.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Basket Buds of the Athletic NBA Show podcast for the Eastern Conference Preview. Western Conference Preview will be tomorrow, Tuesday, for the Tampering Pod. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you're subscribing and following the Athletic NBA Show podcast on all social podcast platforms. Wherever you get podcasts, make sure you're following. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to get the best coverage of sports and the best coverage of the upcoming NBA season on the internet. For Trey, for Rich, for Dave, for Mo, even Jay King, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.
All right, bless you guys.